の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩目の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩。This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite and catch up on the team that once again finds itself in last place. Hey. Yay! I'm your host, T-Ray. Along with me is...
JD, coming at you from Kyoto.
Yeah, in Kyoto, in the capital, the old capital. Anyways, today is March the 21st. This is episode 93, and welcome back to the show. How you doing, JD?
Hanging in there. It's starting to warm up a little bit, it seems like, here in Kyoto, so I'm hoping that that's the case. And baseball is almost back in full swing. We've got televised games each day. You can actually get out and see some games now live. I went down and saw Samurai Japan versus Mexico, 2 weeks ago. So that was my first live game of the season. And it was funny, actually, because, as a Tigers fan, I'm hoping to catch some Tigers action there. But I believe on that day, ironically, the only Tigers-affiliated player on the field that day wasn't even on Samurai Japan. He was a former Tigers pitcher. Everybody probably knows him from 2017, Luis Mendoza. And he started for Team Mexico. So nice. That was about the only familiar face I got to see as a Tigers fan, which was interesting. But
such is the state of affairs, though, that if there's no guys from the Tigers on Team Japan, it obviously means that we don't have guys that stand out enough to represent the nation or to represent NPB. Sad as it is, and that explains maybe our 2018 last place finish and our current spot in the preseason standings, which is 12th place. We're kind of tied for 12th, but by percentage, we're still in last. In the last 10 years, none of the last place finishers in the preseason has gotten into the A class, in other words, made the playoffs. And so, you might say, well, wins and losses don't matter, but it doesn't bode well when you finish last. So hopefully we can drag ourselves out of there. We still got 4 games left, and they are against PL teams that are not so strong. We got one against Chiba Lotte today, and then we've got 3 this weekend against the Buffaloes. So that's our chance to kind of end the preseason on a winning note. If we can win all 4, we will end at 500, 9-9-1.
Maybe we'll be the team that that actually breaks that little historical record that you just talked about there this year. So, there's
that
too.
Well, it could be. But I'd rather us not finish in 12th anyways, just to be on the safe side, but also just for our mental health, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, in today's show, we're going to recap what's happened in the preseason so far, talk a little bit of news, and then we are going to discuss who should be playing at which position. Who do you think is the ideal starting lineup for these Hanshin Tigers? Because we're log jammed all over the place, as you'll see in a bit. Anyways, let's get to the recaps. So Jake, the last time we talked, we actually had already talked a little bit about the first 2 preseason games because those were down in Okinawa. Those were both losses, as we already discussed, so let's breeze past those. But let's talk more losses. Actually, in the next 5 games, the first 5 games up in mainland, we went 0-4-1, so there was nary a win to be found. We got a couple of big losses down in Fukuoka. We lost 0-1. So we wasted some good pitching. I think that was Hamachi that allowed the one run, and we could not put up a single run on the board. The next game we lost 7-2, and Oyama provided the offense. I think we got a 2-run home run in the first inning, and then it was nothing but Hawks.
Yeah, Randy gave up a grand slam in the first inning there.
Ah, that's right.
Which was not the great way to start it, but hey, first preseason start, so not a big deal, I don't think.
Let's just chalk it up to this. We want to give the Hawks a little bit of confidence. I think they need a little bit of that right now. And so that's our way of saying, hey, you guys, you still got it. Don't worry. 4-5 of the last Nippon series. Don't feel insecure. You're still good. So we lose there and we move on to the Eagles. And we play this in Kurashiki, the hometown of Senichi Hoshino, who was one-time manager of the Eagles, one-time manager of the Tigers. Well, did we ever not put on a show there? We lost that one 1-7 as well. And somebody from the Tigers cast was at that game, and he said, man, it just looked like men playing against boys. They brought all their big guns. We didn't bring our imports there, which kind of doesn't make sense. I mean, you got to get those guys in on the action as quick as possible and get them used to playing. So I don't know why Marte did not go. But we lost 7-1. It was a pretty pathetic display. And then we went to Koshien for our first two games at the old stadium of this year. We tied the Fighters 3-3, and that came on a, well, I guess blown save by Kyuji. In the ninth inning, he gave up a run, and so we ended up tying that one. And then we lost to the Giants 3-1. I don't remember anything about that game, and neither should you.
Nope.
So let's move forward, because now in our next six games that we're going to talk about, we're actually putting four wins up on the board in those six games. So a little bit of a turnaround, maybe. We beat the Dragons twice in Nagoya. Well, that's good any time of year. 5-4 and then 4-2. The 5-4, I think, actually was a nail biter, if I'm not mistaken. Like, I think they got two runs in the ninth and they had the bases loaded and were threatening to turn it around and walk it off as a win. We ended up winning 5-4. Then we won 4-2. Oyama with his second home run of the spring in that one. So good stuff there. Then we got two on the weekend, this past weekend, against the Cebu Lions at Koshien. We lost 1-5. And that was another pathetic game for the offense. And then, to say the least. So at this point, the most runs we've scored in a single game is 5. And we did that once. And then other than that, we got 5-4 against the Dragons. And every single other game was 3 runs or fewer. So pretty sad stuff. Anyways, but then on Sunday, we come back and we beat down the Lions 7-3. Fukudome hit a 3-run home run, I believe. And he just clobbered it. So I wish at age 41, almost 42, I was that strong and so on.
Right.
Anyhow, yeah, amazing, yeah. Amazing the guy. That was his second home run of the spring, and in very limited playing time because veterans don't tend to get a ton of at bats. So obviously he's wielding the big stick early, which is good. Then we went to Kanto for a 3-game road trip, and that finishes up today. The Yokohama Bay Stars absolutely shellacked us 8-4. We got no RBI hits. We scored 3 runs on groundouts and 1 run on an error in that one. So yippee for our bats. But they gave us hope yesterday at Jingu against the Swallows. We hit 3 home runs in the first inning, 2 home runs in the third inning. So 5 home run day. Oyama with his third of the preseason. Navarro hit 2, both to opposite field. Itohara hit 1 to dead center. And Umeno pulled 1 into the left center stands as well. So 10-1 win there. So as I said, currently we are 5-9-1. No, that doesn't make sense. What are we, 4-8-1 then? Yeah, 4-8-1.
Yep. Yeah, well, I mean, the only thing, I was really psyched. I actually watched the game yesterday, that was the one that was at Jingu there. But the only thing I would say is that I wonder how many of those home runs would have been out at Koshien, you know? Like, there weren't too many no-doubters, right? Like, even Navarro, when he was rounding the bases on the first one, he was kind of, like, having a little laugh and, like, man, I didn't think that one was going to get out of there. But it carried. So I guess that's, if I'm going to be the pessimist, that's the only thing I'd worry about a little bit. But on the flip side, it's nice to see some power there. And I'm upbeat. I think that the team was underperforming at the beginning and they might be coming around now. After the game, actually, Yano in his comments, he said something, the same thing. He's like, this isn't a lineup that can't hit. Like, we can definitely hit. I don't think we're going to be hitting 5 home runs every game, you know, but it's not something that surprised me too much. So hopefully that continues on into the next series and into the opening series of the regular season.
Yeah, well, I mean, preseason or not, I mean, we had lost 10 straight to the Swallows, and they did have their big guns in the game. I mean, Yamada played. Ballantine came in as a pinch hitter against Johnson. Johnson coaxed a ground out to him. So there you have it. Yeah, it's not looking great, but at the same time, we're not in last place as far as batting average, and we're not in last place as far as ERA. And so our numbers are looking okay, the peripherals anyways. There's a possibility that we're not going to be the worst team in NPB this year. We'll just leave it at that. Okay, so let's talk a little bit news and rumors, mostly news, I guess. Couple of injuries, and hopefully neither of them is major. Onelki Garcia was supposed to go 5 innings in that Bay Stars game. He ended up only going 3 because he tweaked his hamstring, I think. But he said it's minor. He said he's doing fine.
The last report I read said he's going to be ready for his next scheduled start. So, yeah, definitely didn't seem like it was anything too serious.
Right. And then Jeffrey Marte as well. What was his injury? I think it might have been ankle or...
Calf, I think.
Calf. Okay, yeah, that's right. It's calf, yeah. So he is not on this Tokyo road trip, and hopefully he's not like the Giants import Christian Villanueva, who missed out on practice a couple days and instead went to Tokyo Disneyland and posted it on Instagram. Marte, if you're listening, don't go to USJ and post about it on Instagram, please.
Whoopsie.
Yeah. Okay, just had to throw that in because we got to dig on the Giants while we can. So yeah, you know, this is going to do nothing but get the fans out saying, ah, dame gaijin, but whatever.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it seems like the last article I read said that they're shooting to have him in the lineup for the series against the Buffalo starting tomorrow. I don't know when exactly, but he also seems upbeat. He says he's training to be ready for opening day. So hopefully that's not just him trying to keep everybody's spirits up. Hopefully he is ready to go. But then again, I mean, it kind of makes Yano's decision a lot more difficult, you know, who he's going to keep in there between Marte and Navarro. But we can talk about that a little bit more in a little bit.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So the final bit of news is actually a pretty big one, and this came on the heels of one of the games in Nagoya. If I'm not mistaken, it was the second game where Fujinami was the starter, and he went 4 innings and allowed 0 hits and 0 runs.
No, I believe he allowed 1. Didn't he?
Oh, he allowed 1 run, that's right. Yeah. Sorry, you're right. 0 hits, 1 run in 4 innings of work. Sounds pretty good, except that he walked 4, beaned 1, and had a couple of wild pitches or an error or something like that. And so obviously his control was an issue. He has been farmed permanently, or not permanently, we should say indefinitely. And I did also read an article that said that it was partly his call. He wanted it. And what makes this different from other farmings from the past 3 years, in my opinion, is that Yano seems to have a game plan with this. And at the very least, like, he talked to Fujinami, said, hey, let's figure something out on the farm. Let's fix you up good. You know, I think it's just part of it's just in the phrasing too, and like we've talked about so many times on this show, Fujinami's a bit of a delicate fella. And yeah. You know, if you say like, okay, well, you're supposed to be the ace and you're not carrying your weight and you got to go down there and learn a lesson, or you've got to pitch 160 in a game to learn a lesson, like, it's not going to sit well with him. But if you say, hey, let's figure this out together, let's take our time and make sure you come back stronger than ever, well, I think that's going to bode well for him and just his, you know, his mental makeup as he is rehabbing or figuring stuff out.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this so much. Hopefully you're right and that this time is different. I'm not going to bang on about it too much, but I'm going to wait and see. The proof is in the pudding, so to speak, you know, and once he strings together a series of decent starts, you know, where his control looks a little bit more there, then I'll start to feel a little bit more upbeat. But for now, man, I'm just like, after that game, it was just like, not again. So hopefully, yeah, they figure him out down on the farm and get him back to where he needs to be.
You know, we're both Fujinami fans, and we want to see him be on the next Samurai Japan team where he belongs. Mm-hmm. So, there you have it. That's the news and rumors. We are going to be back in about a week's time anyways with some more news, because I think the news is going to keep coming flying as the regular season approaches. Speaking of which, we're only 8 days away from the regular season.
Yay! Can't wait.
Yeah, can't wait. JD and I are going to be at the opening day at Kyocera, so we'll be reporting from there as well. But right now, we want to talk a little bit about what the lineup is going to look like on that day and moving forward into the season, because we got log jams all over the place. Let's look at pitchers first. So we're going to look at the starting rotation as well as the bullpen, and then we'll move into position players. Basically, in the rotation right now, you can probably name me at least 4 guys that are guaranteed starting jobs, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's going to be Messenger is going to be there. Nishi, of course. Garcia, you know, his health doesn't seem to be that much of an issue. Aoyagi has pushed himself in there, I think, for sure. Although he says he's not banking on it yet, I think he's performed well enough in spring to be pretty much a lock. And then you got to figure Iwasada is probably going to be in there as well. So those are the 5 guys. But then there's beyond that, then it's a little bit more murky.
Yeah. So we got tons of guys. Some of them are injured. Some of them are still figuring stuff out. So we're just going to list off 6 guys that are probably the main candidates. Shintaro Fujinami, Takumi Akiyama, Hiroto Saiki, Taiki Ono, Masumi Hamachi, and Haruto Takahashi are probably the 6 guys that are next in line. Now, when you think about it, like, all of these guys have except for Hamachi, have top squad starting experience. All of them have experienced success on the top squad as well. And so when you look at it in that respect, like, we got five guys that are locked, or certainly even if you knock out Aoyagi, you've got four locks. And then if you throw Aoyagi in the other candidates pile, you got seven guys. So we got like 11 guys that could possibly be in the rotation. That's a pretty good luxury to have. Now, I mean, none of them are necessarily superstar status, but, you know, Messenger is all-star. Nishi is all-star. Garcia could be all-star. So we've got a pretty good lineup. Iwasada also has been all-star and has been Samurai Japan before. So I've got some good hope for our starting rotation. But is there anyone in there in particular that you're concerned about or that you think belongs in the rotation right away?
Well, my concern is actually, I'm gonna take the pessimist route here as opposed to you being optimistic about it. What I see here is just a lack of depth, in the sense that there's no one that I feel like could slot in really easily if, say, one of those top four or top five guys gets hurt or underperforms or stuff. So for me, I'm just like, I don't really know. None of them really jumps out at me at this point. I mean, I haven't actually heard much about Ono. I was looking at news on him, you know, what his injury status is like, and I could only find stuff from, like, early March. Do you know what's going on with him? Because that might change things if he's, you know, starting to be healthier again. Or have you heard anything about that?
I have not heard a thing either, so I don't know. But
I'm feeling like the radio silence is kind of like a bad sign. You know, they like the Japanese media seems to go pretty quiet when there's nothing good to say, so I'm kind of worried that might mean that things aren't going too well for Ono. So,
well, to me, all that means is he won't be there on opening day or opening week, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he won't be good this season. It might be that it takes him until maybe May to make his way into the rotation.
Yeah,
I think he's still going to be a viable option, and he's got 2 years of experience, and hopefully he can only get better. But we also know of other pitchers that have gone, you know, with 3 years of experience and have gotten, you know, continually worse. So, but I don't see him as that type.
What do you think? Who do you think could slot in for number six?
Personally, I like Akiyama. He had some off-season surgery, I think, on his right knee. But he's looked really good on the farm. And in fact, I think it was yesterday, he went five innings of shutout ball. I think he allowed two hits and struck out five or something like that. So he's looking pretty good. He could be the sixth starter. And I'm not sure what Saiki's status is. I know that he got kind of beat up pretty bad in the games that he played in spring, but I don't think enough to the point where Yano would not consider him. I think there might be some kind of injury or something physical going on that needs fixing, and that might be why he's not penciled into the rotation as well.
Yeah, personally, I mean, I want to see a little more from Akiyama before I say that he should be back in there. But I mean, of all the guys, just based on what he's done in the past, I think I like him the most. Just have to sort of wait and see what else he does on the farm, how much longer he's going to be down there. But the one start that he had was definitely a positive, so we'll see.
Well, I'm glad that it's someone else's job and not ours to figure this all out.
Yeah.
Anyways, speaking of figuring things out, the bullpen is, I wouldn't say that it's a mess, but I would say that there's a lot of maybes or maybe notses in the bullpen. So the first one, we'll start with the closer. And there's already been talk, like, is QG going to be the closer? There's worries, not with Dolis as far as health, but as far as just how he does with runners on base. Because he tends to get a little bit into, he goes into panic mode a little bit, doesn't pitch as well, doesn't feel the ball well for sure. So I think the understood rule around NPB is if you can get a guy on base, bunt. And there's a good chance that Dolis is going to throw it away, or he's going to bobble it or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Do you have a preference of closer there, like Dolis or QG?
Not really. I mean, I do think that's an issue, and we saw that happen a few times last season. I would say, you know, just give it a shot. You know, see what happens. I wouldn't mind seeing Dolis in there for a little while, but if it seems like he's starting to choke up a little bit, I think Fujikawa could slot in really well there. I think Yano is probably going to play it by ear himself, and I'm totally fine with that. No real preference. Whoever can get the job done, really, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, I'm with you on that as well. And I really think that Dolis, you know, as the closer of the past two seasons, kind of deserves to be the closer again, at least at the start of 2019.
Absolutely.
I mean, he really hasn't done anything to be dethroned, at least at this point. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my assumption is that the other guy will be the setup guy, the eighth inning guy, whoever is not the closer. However, our boy PJ, Pierce Johnson, has been just killing it this spring. He is still not allowed a single run. He struck out a bunch of guys, and I don't think really anyone has gotten good contact off him, because all I've read is box scores, but most of what I'm seeing is grounders and strikeouts from PJ. So Yeah, so either way, I think Johnson is a solid seventh inning guy, if not eighth inning guy, depending on how things go with the two potential closers. But then on top of that, we've got other guys that have the experience being part of the winning, what would you call it, like the winning formula for those final three innings. You know, we've got Kentaro Kuwahara. We've got Atsushi Nomi.
Yeah, he's looking great this this spring too. So
yeah, no doubt. And then we've also got Suguru Iwazaki could be thrown in there as well. So I really think that our bullpen is quite rich right now. We also have not even talked about Tsuyoshi Ishizaki, who is great in 2017 and then got hurt in 2018. Same thing with Akifumi Takahashi. He's aging a bit. Mochizuki was pretty good last year. And then Shimamoto has come along this spring as well, another lefty that we could use out of the bullpen. Kazuo Ito was the saves leader in the Western League last year on the farm. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of guys that could do it. And then even as a mop-up guy or as a utility guy, a long reliever, we've got Yosuke Okamoto, who mm-hmm. came over from the Lions. And then we've got rookie Yukiya Saito. So there's all sorts of options. And I don't know that obviously, you know, bullpens don't remain stagnant or they don't remain the same all season. Like there's no way all these guys are going to be up on the top squad for 143 games.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens and how Yano juggles all of these guys. Mm-hmm. But of course, ideally you want to have at least a couple of lefties in the bullpen. And so I'm thinking maybe Nomi and Iwazaki. And then as a backup, we've got the A Takahashi, Akifumi, as well as Shimamoto.
Yeah, I think out of all those guys, Moriya is the only one who I'm a little bit iffy on. He's had some pretty rough outings so far this spring. I think actually it was the DeNA game that he basically blew that one open for DeNA. So he's the only guy that I'm not too big on there. But you're right, there are a lot of good options. And it's good to see Nomi in particular continuing his success. I hope that continues through because he really made a great transition from starter to a reliever that we really needed. And if he can continue that, then we've got a lot of guys who can really shut down the opposing orders really well. So
in any case, I think the least of our worries, or at least not the most of our worries, would be the pitching staff, because as we went through the rotation in the bullpen, we've got quite a few arms, capable, experienced arms. So it's a matter of them staying healthy and being able to pitch the games that they are called to pitch. Speaking of which, let's look at catcher. You know, as everybody is aware, I think Fumihito Haraguchi was diagnosed with colorectal cancer this offseason, had surgery, and is rehabbing, but obviously he's not in a position to make the roster, at least at the start of the year. And so in some ways, that kind of makes Umeno like the starter by default, or the main catcher by default. Mind you, he's kind of deserved it. I mean, he's been throwing out runners. I think he's thrown out 9 out of the 12 base stealers this spring. And then he's hitting the ball fairly well. You know, he's kind of continuing from last season in the second half where he hit the ball quite well. Mm-hmm. So I really think he's going to be the starter on most nights. But the question then is, do we go with a two-catcher top squad roster or a three-catcher? You know, both of them are, I guess, viable options in a sense. But if you only have two catchers, you could run into trouble late in games if there's an injury or if you know, if something really weird happens, just as far as like using pinch hitters and all that kind of stuff. So what do you think?
I would probably say, I don't know. At the very least, I mean, obviously Umeno's our guy. And beyond mm-hmm. that, I would have Sakamoto in there. I think that we need to get another sort of young catcher into the groove here. And I think out of all the rest of them, he's probably the most viable one. I think if they're going to go with three, I would probably put Okazaki in there. I think just because he's got the experience. But at the very least, you got to have Umeno and Sakamoto in there. Beyond that, I don't really know what they do at this point.
Yeah, actually, I'm on board with exactly what you said, though. Having Sakamoto as the backup catcher, or maybe he takes, for example, he's Nishi's catcher or something like that. Like he catches regularly for one of the starters. You know, just seeing which guy's best. But I did see that, you know, Nishi is kind of a control guy. He's got good control, and Sakamoto's pretty good at framing pitches. And so if you take that, you know, like if Nishi could cheat just a little bit outside the zone and Sakamoto can frame him right, you know, we could pile up a ton of strikeouts. So maybe that's a good combination right there. And then, yeah, Okazaki could maybe be like the late game guy or the emergency guy. But honestly, like he doesn't have much to learn on the farm. And we've got Komiyama down on the farm as our veteran catcher there. For what it's worth. And so we don't need two veterans rotting away on the farm. So maybe Okazaki becomes the third catcher there.
Yeah.
All right. Now we've got the infield. And so what do you want to tackle first? Corner infield or middle infield?
They're both middle.
Middle, okay. I think that's where most of the action is.
Yeah.
So let's lay it out for you and for the listeners. Last season, to start the year, Hiroki Uemoto was the starting second baseman, and he was batting, I think, like .422 and just killing it before he got injured and missed the rest of the season. That was at the start of May. And then he was replaced at second by Kento Itohara, who actually was the starting shortstop at the beginning of the season. So Itohara actually played in all games last year. He's also been named the captain. And then Hojo came in and did a lot of shortstop after Itohara moved over to second until he got hurt.
Yep.
And Hojo batted like .322 last year or something like that. Like quite good average, made good connection. And he's pretty steady on defense now. His defense is getting better. His range is never going to be spectacular. And then you've got Takashi Toritani, the veteran, who wants to... I'll put it this way because I think this is... Nobody says it in these words, but he wants to end his career at shortstop.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that end might come this year.
Yeah.
That's my assumption. Anyways, so he's in the mix for middle infield. And we've also got... last year, Kai Ueda got a decent amount of playing time there as well. Very, you know, a real speedster. Needs to learn to hit the ball, though. But the big surprise and the big X factor then is Seiya Kinami, who was drafted in the third round this year. 24 years of age, and has really made a name for himself this spring. He's got the team record for most hits by a rookie in spring training or in exhibition play. Well, he's tied right now with Takayama, but with four games left, it's all but his. And he's been a little bit shaky on defense, but also I think you know, with time, that's going to get better. So I'm not too worried about that, because that was his sales point to begin with. So... You know, even if he messes up early on, I mean, a lot of guys do. If you look at legendary guys like Yoshio Yoshida, and I'm going like 60 years back, when he started at short, he was terrible on the field. But he became a legendary defensive shortstop. So I think it's just a matter of time before he irons it out. But anyhow, I've just listed off six guys to fill two positions. And maybe we keep one, maximum two, on the bench as backup / pinch hitter, pinch runner, defensive replacement, whatever.
Yeah.
So... we'll talk a little bit more about our starting lineups later, but are there guys that you definitely think shouldn't be there, or you think should be on the farm or anything like that?
Well, at this point, I don't see a place for Ueda just because his offense just isn't there, you know, compared to the other guys that are there. Hojo, unfortunately, this spring hasn't done himself any favors batting-wise. Now, man, the Kinami thing, it's a conundrum, I think, because, yeah, he's been tearing the cover off the ball, but then you have to look at his defense, of course. You have to think about that. And you think, is he going to be able to keep this up, you know, through into the regular season? And the other factor there is that, okay, well, if you're using Kinami at short, I mean, what do you have Itohara coming off the bench? I mean, is your captain really going to be coming off the bench here? And which to me just seems kind of strange. When you also factor in that Itohara, despite, I mean, he's not, you know, there's no fireworks in the spring training so far this year. But last year, he had a really decent batting average on the whole season, considering that he did play in every game, too. So, I don't know, man. This is really tricky. I don't know, like, do you sort of take the gamble on Kinami and keep him there? You know, what do you do with Uemoto? I mean, I don't want to go into it too much because we're going to talk about our starting lineups in a little bit, but... I mean, in terms of the definite outs, I would say Ueda is gone for sure. Beyond that, man, it's a conundrum. Like, I don't know who I would get rid of.
It is, because there's a balance, right? I mean, like, Toritani has been doing quite well this spring, actually. He's hitting the ball. I think he's hitting over 300. And he's been fighting right from the start of spring training because he knows that no position is guaranteed, no playing time is guaranteed anymore. And now that his streak is over, there's no awkwardness about starting him on the bench or even, like, not starting him on the top squad at all.
Yeah, but I mean, then, like, are you going to send Hojo down to the farm? I mean, he's done... How much more does he have to learn down there? I don't think very much at all, you know? I mean, he's shown that he can hit down there in the past. What do you do?
Really, what do you do is the big question. And so we're gonna name our two favorites to be in the starting lineup a little bit later. Right now, we just kind of want to talk all of you through some of the problems that Yano is facing with getting a lineup together. Okay, so let's move to the corner infield anyways. And we've got... a couple of imports, and probably it looks like chances are only one will be on the top squad at any given time. And that's where we get into the import problem, because pretty much guaranteed to be on the top squad as imports are Dolis and Garcia, right? And let's keep in mind, Messenger doesn't count against the import limit, right? Now, the question then becomes, if you want to keep Marte and Navarro both on the top squad, you got to put Johnson on the farm.
Not going to happen.
But Johnson's been doing so well, I can't see it. I mean, unless they say, look, our bullpen is excellent without Johnson. Sorry, guy. But I don't know. He makes our bullpen that much better. So it's going to be Marte or Navarro probably playing first base would be my guess. And then Oyama at third base. And it almost sounds like he's a lock. But then there's this other guy named Naomasa Yokawa who, despite limited playing time last year, had 48 RBIs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though he had some offseason surgery as well, he's doing excellent on the farm. And he's another guy, kind of like Hojo you were saying earlier. He's got nothing left to learn on the farm. I mean, yeah. he's won the double crown, that meaning the home run RBI crown on the farm, I think twice. And so he crushes farm pitching. He doesn't need to crush it anymore.
Yeah.
Right? But at the same time, if he's not good enough for top squad, then what do you do?
Well, I think here, man, it's either Marte or Navarro is going to be the odd man out. I mean, I think they got Marte with the idea that he was going to be there on opening day. Now, that depends on his injury, of course. Navarro is trying to make a case for himself here. So, again, it's Yano himself said it. He's like, it's a really tough decision. I think it's going to come right down to the wire, really depending on Marte's status for opening day. And then Oyama, yeah, is a lock for third. So I would say Yokawa probably coming off the bench there. And I could definitely get behind that, because it just doesn't seem to, like you said, makes no sense to have him on the farm anymore. So yeah. Keep him there as a bench hitter. He can definitely do the damage. He's, you know, he's a big dude. So I'd say it's probably a little bit easier at this point to figure out who's going to be doing the corner infield.
Interestingly, yeah, I would agree with you. But interestingly, three of these guys can actually play either corner position, that being Marte, Oyama, and Yokawa. They're actually all natural third basemen, although we acquired Marte to be our first baseman, not our third baseman. And then Navarro is actually a lefty. I mean, like, he throws left. And so, in a way, that's, what, a little advantage at first, I guess, at least defensively. So that'll be interesting to see what we do there with them.
We also know Oyama has this tendency to just drop off the radar completely now and then, you know, so I don't know. Again, I mean, you wouldn't expect him to get farmed, really. But I mean, last season, he was just stinking it up bad for a long time. So if that does happen again, then you can probably see him getting sent down and, you know, who replaces him, I don't know. But it would be interesting to see Navarro at first and Marte at third as well. It's a possibility. You never know. It really depends on Oyama and if he can keep his performance up to the level that it needs to be at.
Well, I think it depends how much Yano is willing to tinker with the lineup and experiment and see what works, because it's easier to do that on the farm than it is on the top squad. You know, the top squad is not a place for experimenting or trying guys out at positions or whatever. So we'll see. But let's move into the outfield. And first, we'll start with the corner positions, just to say that barring injury, and that's, I tread very carefully when I say that, because Itoi has already been injured this spring. Fukudome and Itoi have probably got the starting jobs in the corners. Fukudome, of course, going to be turning 42 in about a month's time. So the ideal, which has been the ideal for about two seasons now, is that he's a part-time starting left fielder. Mm-hmm. And then Itoi would be the full-time right fielder. He, mind you, is going to be turning 38 in, I think, July, I think. But so those guys basically are going to lock up those two positions for the most part. Center field is left wide open, but then also, if things do turn out, and if we do give Fukudome and Itoi rest, which I think we should, we need to, then there's probably room for two guys to be starter slash platoon, either at the center field position or the left field position for the most part.
Well, Chikamoto is making a good case for himself at this point, right? I mean, you know, his batting average is up, his defense seems to be good. For the most part.
Okay, but I'll say this about him. His slugging percentage is the same as his batting average, which means he doesn't have any extra base hits yet. And of course, that can't last forever, but clearly he's not going to give us a lot of extra bases.
But that's not necessarily why they got him either, though, right? I mean, they were sort of looking more at speed and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. But at the same time, I mean, you can't just arm yourself with singles hitters, because the Tigers have been doing that for several years now, and it hasn't really worked in their favor. You know, so you want at least some power from your outfield. At least that's kind of how I feel. Like if they can, even if your center fielder can get 10 home runs, you're okay. But if he's not even going to get you five, which, I mean, Chikamoto, I would say, might be lucky to get three this year. I mean, he's not quite as feeble or weak as Yamato, but he's really probably not going to hit many. And especially he's a lefty hitter and he's going up against the Hamakaze. So, yeah. The other one is he's made some mistakes on the base paths. And even just the other day, I think he got picked off at second or somewhere. I don't know. He got, anyway, it's just an unusual thing where he really hasn't figured out how to keep himself on base at times. Let's run through the rest of the guys that we've got here as possibilities. So Shun Takayama, Masahiro Nakatani, Taiga Egoshi, Hayata Ito, Kairi Shimada, and Shunsuke Fujikawa.
I don't know, man. I think Nakatani just looks completely lost. So Nakatani's not gonna make it, I don't think. So Egoshi, I think probably Egoshi and Hayata are more or less locks, I think, in a lot of ways. Takayama, I don't, you know what, I'm trying to think. He hasn't really done much this spring, has he?
No, he's been hit and miss, but more miss than, you know, a lot of swings and misses.
You wonder what's going on with him. I think Shimada and Shunsuke at this point are probably sort of the odd man out. But then again, I don't know. You know, it really depends on if Takayama can come around a little bit more. And, you know, Egoshi needs some more playing time, I think, too.
So this is what I see with Egoshi. He's got the potential also to be a defensive replacement as well as a pinch runner. Mm-hmm. So that gives him a bit of, I guess, versatility or a leg up on some of the other competition. Because Shunsuke can be a defensive replacement. I suppose he could be a pinch runner, but he's not particularly fast anymore. And he's getting up there. He's like 31, 32 years old. And he's a good pinch bunter, but that's it. And then Hayata, you definitely don't want in the outfield, especially late in games when the game might be on the line. So, yeah, personally, I like Egoshi to have a chance. He hit another home run on the farm just the other day. And so I think he's doing better than he's done any other year that I've seen him. So we'll see about that anyways. So those are the guys. I think we've mostly covered everybody there. So now the question is, now that we've talked about more or less everybody on the 70-man roster, let's look at like what kind of starting lineup would you like to see, hitting order as well as position on opening day. So I'll go first, Jake. I'll tell you what my batting order would look like, and then you can either slap me around or you can agree with me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I've got batting leadoff, Kento Itohara at second base.
Okay.
And then batting second, I've got Chikamoto in center.
All right.
Batting third, Itoi in right.
Mm-hmm.
Batting fourth, the much talked about Yobang Bata in Japanese ball would be Yusuke Oyama, believe it or not. As much as I dog on him for not being clutch, I'll explain my choices a little bit later. But anyways, let's keep going through. Batting fifth, I've got Fukudome in left. Batting sixth, I've got Jeffrey Marte at first base. That, of course, could be just, you know, plugged in with Efren Navarro. And then batting seventh, I've got Seiya Kinami at short. And batting eighth, I've got Umeno at catcher. So let me explain a little bit before you knock any of my choices or disagree. Well, you can disagree if you want.
No, you're actually, we got a lot of overlap, so I think,
all right,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, so Itohara is an on-base machine, is the way I see him. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that's much like Toritani in his prime, walks more than he strikes out. So he's gonna look at a lot of pitches. He makes pretty good contact. He's not, you know, overly fast, but when I think about Yano wanting to have a 2003 model type team, the leadoff hitter, I believe in 2003, was Makoto Imaoka, who is also not a very fast guy. And then we had Akahoshi batting second that season. So that's kind of a Chikamoto type of player right there. So I see that as a good 1-2. You know, you get Itohara on base, and then Chikamoto can, you know, possibly if they play a little hit and run or whatever, we get a first and third situation. If Chikamoto can put one through the right side of the infield, Chikamoto steals second base, and then Itoi can knock two guys in later. So that's my reason for my top three up there. With Oyama, even though there's more accomplished guys in Itoi and Fukudome, and there's even the expectation of Marte, the team needs to raise up a Yoban Bata, a Japanese Yoban Bata. It needs to be a young guy. And you know what? I'm willing to put up with And I'm not willing to put up with much, but I'm willing to put up with a season of struggle from Oyama if it means the rest of his career he becomes our number four hitter, you know, for years to come. Because he's still only, what, 24, I think, going on 25 this season. You know, if he can sit himself in there, and even if he struggles until August, man, if he can figure it out by the end of the season, and from 2020 beyond, he is the guy, and the league knows, like, Hanshin's number four hitter is Oyama, and he's a good one, then let's go for it. So that's why I've got him there. Fukudome, of course, is steady. And then I've got Marte, Kinami. I think just taking some pressure off Kinami. And even just, you know, if he keeps hitting even, you know, about 70% of what he's hitting now, opposing pitchers are going to hate to have to face a guy like Kinami in the seven slot. Don't you think? I mean, having a guy of that, you know, with that good of contact rate and with that decent amount of speed. And he seems to have really, like, just ice cold blood going flowing through his veins, you know. So to have a guy down there who's kind of unflappable, I like that. And then Umino in eighth is still, you know, if he is a decent hitting catcher, that's a pretty good number eight slot. The other thing about my lineup that I just want to highlight is that other than the first three who are all lefties, from there we get the whole, you know, snaking lefty righty, lefty righty, lefty righty, all the way down until catcher. So that's the reason I went with that. So tell me your stuff there, JD. I want to hear what you got.
Yeah, there's some overlap there. I'll start off by saying I don't have Kinami in my starting lineup. I think that still the defense... Again, this could change if he can show that he can consistently hit top squad level pitching. But I'm not going to trust him entirely yet. I think that a little time on the farm might be good just to get his defense up a little bit. And I think that's the only real liability now. The other thing, too, is he had... I mean, it's only one game, but he did have three strikeouts in a row. I think it was it in Jingu? Was it that yesterday?
I think you're right.
Either way, yeah. So I think I'm not 100% sold on him yet, which some people might be like, dude, why? He's hitting 400. I mean, he's been tearing it up this spring. I agree with you. I'm still gonna hedge my bets a little bit for now. So I don't have Kinami in my lineup, so I'll just say that from the beginning. The rest of it, though, there's a lot of overlap there. I would have Uemoto batting first, again, because I just think he gets on base really well. He's scrappy. But he's also got, you know, he's got a little bit of pop in him, too, and I kind of like that for the leadoff hitter.
He's also got more speed than Itohara, yep.
Yeah, yeah. Chikamoto coming up next, again, from, you know, you basically covered the reasons there. Then I've got a pretty traditional lineup here from the past couple of seasons. I've got Itoi, then followed up by Fukudome in the four spot with Oyama after that. And then six, I've got either Navarro or Marte, who would be playing first, which whoever happens to be ready, I guess, for opening day at this point. I don't want to say I necessarily prefer Marte because I don't feel like I've seen enough of him yet. And I think Navarro has definitely made a case for himself. I like Navarro. I think, you know, last year he finished off the season with a respectable batting average. So I'm not going to say that I would prefer to have Marte in there yet, but it's just going to depend on who ends up in there. Then number seven, I have Itohara, and then finishing it off with Umeno at catcher. So, you know, probably a pretty standard lineup, nothing too out of the ordinary there, I guess, aside from maybe not using Kinami.
So you've got Itohara as the shortstop as well then, right?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Okay. So Uemoto playing second.
So let me make a couple comments about your choices. Overall, I like what you got, and I love Uemoto, so I'm totally with you on that. And putting Itohara in the seven slot, oh man, I mean, like, opposing pitchers would hate that because he's just so dependable. And so there's no easy out lower down the lineup other than the pitcher, which is kind of nice. So I like that as well, but I do feel like Itohara has kind of gotten much more comfortable playing second than he has playing short, and so I wonder how that's going to work out. But I mean, that's something for another discussion.
Yeah, I'm just thinking who would you plug in at short there, you know? If I'm not going to be using Kinami, then it can't be Hojo at this point, unfortunately, you know. So yeah, it's tricky, you know. It's like, who do you slot in there? So
Toritani Takashi.
Oh man, I want to say it, but I just can't at this point. Yeah. Sorry, Toritani. I mean, you know, he's got to come off the bench, I guess. That's about the only place I can see for him at this point.
Well, we do need good pinch hitters, so I'm not against that idea either. And honestly, I mean, like, putting him on the farm would be like that's just full on like insulting. So he's definitely not going to be a farm boy. I'll tell you.
I suppose if I was going to have Kinami in the lineup, I could see having Kinami in at short, Itohara at second, and then maybe Uemoto off the bench too. But I feel like, man, Uemoto is just, he's just so scrappy, and there's such a good chance he's going to get on base. And you know what we saw last year was really good as well. I don't think he's going to continue that at that rate, of course. But I just feel like I want him in the lineup with more regularity.
Yeah, until he gets hurt, because he always does, and that's the unfortunate thing. I mean, when you're a little guy like that, I mean, I don't know. Anyways, okay, let's move on to pitchers and the pitching rotation, and we've already kind of talked about which guys are guaranteed to be in the rotation. Really, there's four. I mean, Messenger, Nishi, Garcia, and Iwasada are pretty much locks. You know, Iwasada's actually looked pretty good this spring, too. So those four guys are definitely in, and Messenger has been named opening day starter. And Aoyagi's definitely made a case for himself, but let's keep in mind now that we are playing our first three at Kyocera Dome against the Swallows, and then our next three at Tokyo Dome against the Giants. And so we're not talking about a season-long rotation here, but basically just the first six games. What would you like to see?
I'm thinking Randy, Nishi, and Garcia for the first three, because I think that gives us a good chance to go in there and sweep, actually. Because obviously, you know, Randy pitches really well at Kyocera Dome, and he's the opening day starter anyway. So you got Nishi, who's going back to familiar territory. He came over from the Buffaloes as it is.
Yep.
I think he's also, just in terms of his stats and what he's accomplished in the past, you can't really say he's not the number two guy. And then Garcia, of course, pitches better in domes than anywhere else. So I think that 1-2-3 is a lock for sure. It gets tricky when you go to Tokyo Dome against the Giants. I would actually say I would have Aoyagi in there to start that series. And then have Iwasada in there for the second game. Now, the third game of that, again, like we said, I have no idea who's going to be the number six starter in the rotation here. So I have no idea what they're going to put in there. But I feel like...
Well, one viable option that has been talked about and has been done in the past is to put Messenger in that sixth game. And he would pitch on short rest because he likes that anyways. And he's good at Tokyo Dome. And, you know, so that's definitely an option. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to say, first of all, that if I'm not mistaken, like, I mean, the rotation has more or less been set other than that sixth one, right? Like, even the order has been set. And they do this basically during these games where right now Messenger is pitching on Fridays because he will be pitching on Friday the 29th. So this Friday the 22nd, he'll be pitching as well. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Aoyagi had pitched last Saturday and he'll be pitching this Saturday against the Buffaloes, and then he will pitch the next Saturday against the Swallows, and then Nishi is getting Sunday action. So, you know, we're talking right now just what we'd prefer, not necessarily what we're predicting will happen, because I think it's pretty much set that at Kyocera it's going to be Messenger, Iwasada, Nishi. And then in Tokyo Dome, Garcia is going to start that one, followed by Aoyagi, and then the question mark is, I believe, how it is looking. But I'm still going to go against the grain and say, let's screw around a little bit with this. I would say Messenger to open, as you know, has already been decided and is the most logical choice anyways. I would follow that with Aoyagi, based partly on how he pitched in Tokyo against the Swallows just the other day. He went six innings and allowed one run. It was an unearned run. So I'd like to see him against the Swallows again. And then Nishi on Sunday, because like you said, he should pitch at Kyocera Dome. It's just the most fitting place for him to start his time with the Tigers. I would bring Garcia in to open the series against the Giants.
I like it.
He's good at Tokyo Dome. He's good against the Giants. It's a good place for him to start. And then I would put Iwasada in, because traditionally, too, he's been really good against the Giants, and he's been quite good at Tokyo Dome as well. So I would throw him in on that Wednesday game. And then I would end it on Thursday. I really think Akiyama is going to be ready. And I know he just pitched, what, yesterday, which was Wednesday. So it would be like, if they're adjusting him, it would be an 8-day rest. But that's okay. He could use that as well. But Akiyama's been quite good against the Giants as well. And I think that if, I mean, obviously you can't decide it this last minute, but if Garcia and Iwasada are able to peel off wins, then it puts a lot less pressure on Akiyama as well to do it there. The other thing is Akiyama's got a good bat, and maybe he could hit out a home run at Tokyo Dome, because that's a pretty hitter-friendly park.
Yeah. I like it. I'd like to think that Akiyama is going to be ready. I think that, like I said, he's probably the most viable out of all the question marks that are there at this point. And yeah, using Garcia to start off the series, actually, that gives you a chance to open it up with a win. And yeah, take some of the pressure off the other guys. So I like it.
Thanks. All right, everybody, one announcement. And that is that our next show, which I'm hoping is going to be next week, is going to be the annual Central League Predictions Spectacular.
So we've got
a contest, and I announced this on YouTube. By the way, I'm in the middle of a 30-day challenge, which is to put out a YouTube video every day for 30 straight days. Hanshin Tigers related, of course. And so if you go to the H10 YouTube channel, you'll find it there. Anyhow, the prize is a Hanshin Tigers road jersey. It's maybe from about a decade ago. It's brand new. Don't worry. It's not like a decade old shirt that I've been wearing for that long. That's the prize if you can predict exactly the order of the CL standings at season's end. Of course, just as in the past, if possible, I'd love for you to send these in MP3 format or some kind of audio format so that we can put it on next time's show. If you're too shy to do that, you can send it to me by text and I will speak it out. But maybe I'll put a stain on the jersey if you guess right, just as a penalty. I'm just kidding. Anyway, send them to me by email, thehanshintigers@gmail.com. You'll find the email address in the show notes as well. Send it there. The deadline is March the 27th, so you don't have a ton of time, but give it some thought and just wing it if you're not really sure and if you haven't given it much thought, because you got nothing to lose. You got something to win. Last season in 2018, nobody, and that means H10 and otherwise, predicted the Swallows would be in second, and nobody predicted the Tigers would be in sixth, but there they were. So yeah, it is a crapshoot, absolutely. Now, there's no set format, but if you want to go from first through sixth, you can. If you want to go from sixth through first, you can. If you want to explain your order, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Please leave your name, let us know where you are coming from. And one last thing, there's a tiebreaker in case two people predict the exact same standings and both happen to be right. Tell us, who is going to lead the Tigers in home runs in 2019 and how many home runs will they have? That's the tiebreaker. So hopefully then, if there are two people with exactly the right standings, that will differentiate winner from loser. And that'll just be closest person wins. Mm-hmm. All right? Send them to me, once again, by email, thehanshintigers@gmail.com. I'm waiting for all of you to go for this jersey as the prize. All right, thank you once again for your time and passion for the Tigers. If you like what you heard and you want more H10 content, you can check us out on Patreon. The link is in the show notes. You can also find this podcast and extra news articles and more at www.thehanshintigers.com. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. We're in all those places, plus more. Just search us on Google, Hanshin Tigers English News. Subscribe, write a review, help us to get more recognition and get more listeners, because everyone needs to love the Hanshin Tigers. You can also get us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. All that stuff is in the show notes, so check that out. And until next time, everybody, keep on cheering until these Tigers make their way out of last place. Could happen today. Beat the Marines. Let's go, Tigers. Thanks for joining us, JD.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. And yeah, 1 week left, and then baseball starts. So hang in there for one more week, and we will see you at the park, actually, on opening day.
Yeah. Catch you later, guys. It's your boy.